Good evening. Don't worry, just because I'm getting up here doesn't mean I'll be long-winded. My Bible is too big to hold and flip, 16-point font. It's great, but it's not very good for holding and preaching, so no worries there. But concerning the Bible, we'll open it to 1 Timothy, very first chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, I recently was, Charles was giving a talk, and the theme of the series of lessons we were doing was called How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts? And it was given with the frame of mind, with the context of Paul speaking to Timothy, and Paul being a mentor unto Timothy. And so it's not necessarily only to those young in age, but I think we can all learn from Paul and be a mentor unto him. And I was given a question to answer. And I thought it was a very strange question. And it was, who should you trust? With the context of Christianity and biblical answer, who should you trust? And we think about young people being pulled one way or another as they are trying to figure out their way in life. And, you know, someone's going to say this to you and another person's going to say this to you. And if you don't have as many life experiences as some, it's easy to be swayed in several different ways. But I think it's something that we can all gain from, benefit from, this idea of who should I trust according to the Bible. And I think 1 Timothy does an interesting job of answering this question. And there are some obvious answers. And the first thing that should have popped in your mind when I said who should you trust was the Father, was God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. And when you take a logical approach to this, if I'm going to use the law or follow the law because it is good, meaning it is perfect, then the one who gives the law is perfect, and that is the Father. Can I trust perfection? I sure hope so. And so trusting the Father is an idea that I don't think anyone would question, anyone that is of a spiritual mind. Of course we can trust the Father. Is that all we can trust? Do I trust my brethren? Do I trust that which is imperfect? What does the Bible say about this? And when I was at camp and I was teaching these guys in the cabin, and I told this story, I think that it had a pretty big impact on me. I'm around young people all the day being a teacher. And not all of these kids, and it depends on where you are, but not all of these kids are individuals that are not only not spiritually minded, but not necessarily minded of good things. You know, trying to help one another or anything like that. And it's discouraging. And I was around a bunch of young people, and they were singing songs by them. I didn't tell them to or anything. They just wanted to and were having their own studies. And it was a huge encouragement to me. You know, it hit me right between the eyes. And it was such an encouraging moment. And you think about the people in this room, all the encouraging time over the years that we've had with one another, times that we've had each other's backs, helped each other through, you know, unimaginable painful moments. Can we trust those people? We should, right? Well, in verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And if I were going to put trust in an individual in the New Testament, Paul would definitely be at the top of the list. And he calls himself here the chief sinner. And it's hard for us to say, well, I'm going to listen to that guy. Well, he knows what he's been through and he's come on the other side of it, right? Nevertheless, he's a sinner. He's had that in his heart at some point. However, in verse 16, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And I'm going to talk about each other in just a moment. But though Paul called himself to be the chief sinner, what does he say in verse 16? We know we can trust in God. But someone else we also ought to trust in, that the Bible says we should trust in, is ourselves. Now that sounds counterproductive. It sounds a bit counterintuitive when we look at the Bible and we see ourselves as sinners. We see ourselves as flawed individuals. No matter those moments of goodness that we have had, we're still flawed. then why can we trust ourselves? And here's a powerful reason that is revealed in verse 16. Because Christ did. And I want you to look at this. Some of your versions, I think it's the New American Standard, may read that Christ entrusted me with this. Brethren, the Lord has given us this and entrusted you and I with His Word, that we may share the gospel and that we may find Him and live a powerful life according to His will, a joyful life, a peaceful life. And if we go around all the day saying, well, I'm not worthy of anything, or I'm not capable of anything, and I'm miserable, then we're not really doing what God wants us to do, are we? For God has trusted us to do His will. How powerful is that? If God has trusted us with His revealed Word, and Christ has trusted Paul here to carry on that message, then brethren, we ought to trust ourselves in those moments. We trust in God first to give us the guidance, the comfort. But we trust ourselves to go do it. And I use this illustration. I'll never forget it because it haunts me to this day, and it shows you how much stock I put in football at that time. And I guess it shouldn't haunt me as much anymore. But there was a moment in practice where I was playing linebacker, and boy, did that hole open up, and boy, did I see nothing but a running back there. As a linebacker, what am I supposed to do? Go fill that hole right now, right? Well, I froze because the hole was so wide. I said, well, he might go right, he might go left. If I commit, then I might miss him altogether. So if I just kind of stay here and freeze, then maybe I won't miss him as badly. Well, of course, the coach tears into me because I didn't trust myself. There I was presented with an opportunity, and I didn't take it because I didn't trust myself. Brethren, we can't be like that as Christians. We have to trust ourselves to work in the vineyard because God's entrusted us with that work. And then when you go into verse 18, go down to verse 18, skip one. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And here we see Paul saying, Timothy, I trust you. And so who should we trust? Those that are fighting the good fight with us, in spite of our flaws. We have to. We have to put our trust in one another and believe that we're all fighting on the same side. That we are fighting the same fight that the Lord has entrusted us with. So when you have that question of, throughout my life, who should I trust? Young people, I'm definitely talking to us. I'm still going to include myself in that group. But I'm definitely talking to all of us. In any walk of life, there are going to be times where we're not sure who we should trust. And it's very plain and simple and clear. Always trust the Lord your Father, for He is good and perfect. Trust yourself to do His work, for He has trusted you. And trust one another as we fight alongside each other. So I encourage us tonight to keep fighting the good fight, to wage the good warfare, and continue to put our trust in the Lord. If your trust is not there for whatever reason, there's an opportunity that lies before you tonight. I encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. Whether you need encouragement or you've not started the fight, and your trust in the Lord is not there, now's a great time to start. Whatever your need may be, won't you let us know as we stand and as we sing.